We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
You are listening to Rams Talk Radio, proud partner with the Big Heads Media Podcast Network.
Talking about
Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl. LA will play for the Lombardi.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek C. Apollo, my co-host Tommy Avance. We're here to recover from the Los Angeles Rams 30-29 loss, last second loss up in Seattle tonight. The Rams dropped to 3-2. Seattle now moves to 4-1. And they're just a half game now behind the 49ers. Well, I think they're half games. They're 3-0. They've had their bye, right, Tommy? They've had their bye.
Yeah, they play Monday night.
All right, so by the numbers, three games over, they're tied, but loss for the Seahawks. In there, 4-1 overall. All of a sudden, the Rams are in third place in the division. Tommy, how you doing, man? How you feel about all this?
I'm all right, man. It was a hard pill to swallow. I'm not going to, you know, blame it on Greg. He's the best kicker in the NFL for a reason, and rightfully so. When it left his foot and I saw it hit the air, I knew he was going to miss. Barely, but nonetheless, here we are. But yeah, I'm not going to blame the loss on him. It's just, it was a close divisional game. And I mean, we did our best, man. I mean, there's a lot of holes, obviously. on our team, you know, that everyone was worried about, you know, from last year. And it's not just the players. It's the fact that, you know, last year our offense was figured out by Fangio and Matt Patricia and passed on through, you know, the Eagles and into the Super Bowl against the Patriots. And we had to come up with a whole new playbook this year or we weren't going to be competitive, obviously. So the fact that we didn't play preseason and we have a new playbook, we got to a rough start. But let's be honest, after five games and all the mistakes that the Rams have made to date this season, we're 3-2. All right, that's nothing to be upset about. It's a very competitive record, and it's a long season. I'm not happy about the outcome tonight, but it is what it is, man.
It was a tough night. I mean, overall, there were especially that first half. That first half, it was like they were sleepwalking for much of that half. And I even wrote that on Twitter tonight. I'm manning the Twitter station that, you know, they looked like they were beat already for a good chunk of that first half. And then they got that touchdown late, and they seemed to wake up after that play, after that game. Jeez, after that play. I had it right the first time. So I just look at it, and I think 30-29 coming back from a 55-40, really embarrassing loss on Sunday night. Just 4 days later, they could have won this game. They probably should have won this game. I think overall they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be fine. If there were worries about this team right now, people should have them put to rest. If anything, be worried about the fact the rest of the division's good in terms of the 49ers and the Seahawks. This team could be just as good as they were last year and wind up missing the playoffs because they're just in a tough division. I don't think there's any question at this point that the NFC West is the best division in the NFL. Am I wrong?
No, they're as competitive as it gets. And, you know, being week five, anything can happen. I mean, over the last 4 years, the 49ers have been the most, other than the Chargers, the most injury-prone football team in the NFL. And we're starting to see some of their players fall off already, like we normally do. So let's not panic yet. Let's let nature take its course, as it has in recent, you know, history, and go from there and just try to keep our team as healthy as possible and moving in the right direction. That's all you can really do. But, you know, I think fans, you know, in the short term have gotten spoiled. You know, at this time last year, we were 5-0. And we're 3-2, and people are freaking out because 3-2 freaks people out when they're used to being 5-0. There's a lot of new fans out there. There's a lot of fans on Twitter that don't understand the game holistically, and I encourage all of them and all of the listeners to do your homework, not just on understanding the game inside and out on all three phases of the game, but salary cap, all that stuff. Educate yourself so we can have educated conversations on social media and not argue with each other so much. It's important to understand the game holistically so you can keep yourself even keeled when situations happen like this. I mean, we lost by 1 point to a division rival on the road. Like, that's nothing to be upset about in reality, right?
And I mean, on the pregame last night, I predicted that the Rams are going to lose this game. And I think you and I both entering this season had this as a loss.
We thought it's always a coin toss when you go up into that environment against Russell Wilson and that noisy crowd, and he just has the ability to just play like we all did when we were in the street, man, and on the asphalt. He makes stuff happen. He gets the ball out right when Aaron Donald's swinging for him and gets it to some random tight end that you've never heard of. It happens every year, right? We should be used to it
every year. Every year. And, you know, he is only 7-8 against the Rams, by the way. So the Rams overall have played him very well. They played him well at times today, too. But he is still one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. I know that there are some people who kind of discount him now.
That's ridiculous.
I saw a couple people in their top, during that whole fad about the trending quarterback list this summer. All that meme that's going around about, you know, average, above average, elite. And anybody who had Russell Wilson outside top five to me is ridiculous. He just they're not really watching the game. They are just somebody who's kind of going along the way that, hey, they ran the ball a lot last year. He's no, listen, Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the game, period. Hands down.
Yeah.
And I, as much as I hate to say that, as much as I loathe the Seahawks personally, you got to give props for that. That touchdown to Lockett, back of the end zone, man, come on. I mean, that's that was pure Russell Wilson and Lockett getting there to have a shot catching that ball. That was good coverage from Weddle.
Dude, Eric Weddle was on him like stink on, you know what I mean. He was all over. You couldn't have played that any better, my friend. Right?
But that's just – that's just people making plays. You know, we can go back to last week's game and go, the Rams just didn't make plays. They missed a lot of tackles. They weren't in coverage. They didn't make adjustments. They beat themselves. In this game, you know what? You can actually say the Seahawks beat them. Yeah. You can say that.
It was a dogfight, and they won by 1 point. Man, this is nothing to be ashamed of. It's just not. It's not, especially when you have lesser talent and new playbooks and coaches trying different things on the fly. This is and not playing preseason. This is what's going to happen, man. Now, if we're in week 12 having this conversation, okay, now we got a problem. But it's week 5. Calm down. You know, we're 3-2.
There's nothing really to be concerned about to me about this team. I think some of the gaps are going to fix. I thought the offensive line struggling early did finally get it together. They play a lot better in the second half. I think we're starting to see them get a little bit going here, have this side have a better game. It's just going to take time. If anything, that Tampa Bay game is going to wind up helping them long-term getting it together. I think they need to lose that game.
Absolutely. I mean, people forget last year. We went into the season last year saying Wade Phillips – saying my pass rushers are Samson and Ibukam and Matt Longacre. That's what we went into the season with. And we made it to the Super Bowl. You know why? Because we got into the season and realized that wasn't a good plan, and we traded for Dante Fowler Jr. Okay? We needed a little bit more talent. Right? So now we're sitting here in week 5, right? Heading towards the trade deadline, and we have some interior offensive linemen that are a little suspect, right? We have, you know, so we can do a lot of things from now until the trade deadline if we need to. If we need to, it can be done, right? There's no need to panic. We're not in that point of the season yet to where we need to panic.
I mean, it can be done. I don't think they want to. If you look at the cap for next year, I mean, Tershow Times had a look at the cap for next year earlier this week, and it's actually pretty unnerving if you're a Rams fan, because the Rams have to draft well at this point. They're going to be top heavy, but their nucleus is going to be top heavy. So they have to develop. They have to draft well. They don't have a whole lot of room to make trades, but if you want to make that run this year, you can take a shot. It'll be difficult to move money around, but there is a little bit of wiggle room.
You can if you move money,
if
right?
You move money. It's hard because you get dead cap space too. I bet
you can honestly move money by moving a player who's making a lot of money, like Brandon Cooks.
Okay. Oh, you're going back to Brandon.
I'm just saying, as a GM, listen, one man's trash is another man's treasure. There's a reason why he's been traded multiple times. Listen, at the end of the day, we all have to understand how the salary cap works, and you can only have, and that's why I put that tweet out yesterday, at the end of the season, we got to pay Cooper Kupp. No NFL team in NFL history has paid 3 wide receivers, and I am not willing to get rid of Robert Woods, because I think Robert Woods is a much better player than Brandon Cooks, okay? Brandon Cooks is a one-trick pony. I've never been impressed with him overall. It is a well-rounded game, okay? I was perfectly okay with going into the season last year as Josh Reynolds replacing Sammy Watkins because of cap issues. You need to make sure that on an annual basis you have less than 7 players on your roster that make top money at their positions, or you will never be able to stay under the salary cap. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. Okay? So right now we have how many? Who do we got? We got Goff. We got Gurley. We got Aaron Donald. We got Brandon Cooks, that's 4. Who else? keep it going. Who else has a long-term deal right now on this team that's big money? Is that it?
Aaron Donald, you have, well, Havenstein, but you're...
Yeah, that's not
really going to want him right now, 432. But look, you're talking about Cooks. Cooks doesn't really have an out until after 2020.
That's no,
when
no, no,
dead,
no,
that's when his dead cap goes down.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you can only carry 5 to 7 players on an annual basis that make any real money. The rest of them are making the rest, right? That's how it's always kind of worked. So you have to pick and choose your battles. You need to re-sign guys like Cooper Kupp and Josh Johnson. You're not going to let them go for three wide receivers. I'm
Cooper
sorry.
Cooper Kupp, you know, John Johnson's coming up, like you mentioned, and a certain somebody. We can do Dexter Fowler. You got to think about him as well.
Let him go.
I mean, but he's probably your best outside pass rusher right now.
No, he is, but he's not going to be worth what they're going to pay him.
Well, and then the market says that. But conversation.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. That's why
we'll have plenty of time to go down that route. We'll have plenty of time. But let's bring it back to this game. Before we get back to this game, we do want to say, hey, this episode is sponsored by John Hawk. Darn, jeez. Jim Hawk. What am I? I am up. A 30-29 loss. I'm hyped up over this game, and I can't even say people's names right. Jim, I apologize. Jim Hawk wrote the book Hollywood's Team, Great Glenn and the 1950s Los Angeles Rams. Also, if you enjoy our shows, go over to Apple Music, please, and leave a review, okay? And by the way, if you happen to leave a review, if there's some kind of issue, please do us a favor and actually explain it. Because some weirdo just kind of posted a review, and all he said was, he said something about one of the show's background music, and that was his only comment. He said that song was annoying, and leaves a middling review. It's like, come on, guys, listen. That's not really helpful. You're just being a jerk. I mean, if you want to leave a review, seriously, please. You know, if you like what
I
we do.
I don't like your background music.
Seriously. You're complaining about the background music to one of our shows. Okay, well, you just dissed our entire network over a background music for one show. Here's the thing about our network, because we have diversity, you can listen to several different shows on our network. So that thing, it's one of our positives, is that we have diversity. So hey, if you really, really, really want to leave us some feedback that we'll take seriously and carry with us and try and improve on and talk about, send us an email at ramsot1945@gmail.com. If you just like what we do in general and you want to help us out, that review on Apple Music really, really does help us out. Okay? Or if you really, really think we suck and no feedback is going to help that, then I understand leaving a lower star, but seriously, that kind of feedback is just stupid. Okay? It just is. We are, though, and we have some feedback to read on Sunday night. We'll do it on Sunday night. We are still doing the jersey. We upped the ante here. So once 200 five-star reviews, we will go ahead and reward one of our reviewers with a personalized Rams jersey. You pick the is it a replica throwback? Is it current? Whatever you want there. Put your name on it. Put whatever number. If you want to cuss somebody out with it, fine. I don't care. Hey, we'll pay for it, okay? So how you do it, you head over to Apple Music, you leave a review, you take a screenshot, you email that screenshot to us over at ramstalk1945@gmail.com. Bam, there you go, you're entered. And we will eventually, hopefully before the millennium, come up with a winner. I mean, I'm joking, but I had to up the ante to get folks going, and we did get a couple reviews. So thanks a lot, guys. Okay, back to the game. The stats here, it's just like how close this game was, okay? The Rams, 24 first downs. Seahawks, 25 first downs. Third down efficiency for the Rams. This is something they got to fix. 3 for 11. Seahawks, 3 for 10.
Ooh, both of them are garbage.
Yeah, okay. Total yards. I'm excited about this part. Total yards, Rams, 477. Back to the old days there. They had a nice night offensively. A little shaky early, but there you go. Seahawks, though, 429 yards. The Rams averaged 7.1 yards per play. Seahawks, 6.4. This is what hurt the Rams, guys. 167 yards rushing allowed. 43 rushes. Basically, Seattle controls the game. Rams do rush 18 times, 82 yards, 4.6 a carry. So that
comes basically, they should have ran the ball more. It's obvious.
They should have, but they did enough to at least keep the Seattle defense honest. Like the last game with Tampa Bay, you know, you and I were both ticked about that. But they did enough to keep the Seattle defense honest, and it worked. But here's the main problem. You can look at right here. Seattle, they played Seattle's game. Seattle, 35 minutes of possession. The Rams, 24-42. I don't know what to tell you about it. There weren't a whole lot of mistakes. 6 penalties for 45 yards. That could be a lot worse. Seahawks, 5 penalties for 45 yards. Overall, the only real issue there is the way the Seahawks manage the football. They just control for 35 minutes. By the way, the Rams allowed no sacks in this game. Goff did face pressure. They did get to him, but no sacks. So there is significant improvement. Yes, significant improvement there. Looking at the players themselves, Jared Goff, look at this here. And it just, of course, for whatever reason, NFL.com does not like us when we're on the show. It continually just gives me a middle finger. I'm serious. Happens on Mike all the time. All the time. So let's roll down here to see if I can find the player stats. Box score. We know that Jared Goff was really criticized last time out. Tonight, 29-49, 395 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The interception was not his fault. Russell Wilson, 17-23, 268 yards, four touchdowns, takes one sack. Todd Gurley, 15 carries, 51 yards, two touchdowns, and a fumble loss. That fumble, come to find out, is pretty critical. Brandon Cooks, one carry, 27 yards. Chris Carson, 27 carries for 118 yards, average of 4.4 per carry. Here is the big one, and I've been waiting for this, and I've been kind of predicting this. Receiving, Gerald Everett leads the Rams with 136 yards tonight. Seven catches, 136 yards. Been waiting for this man. Been waiting for this. Cooper Kupp, nine catches, 117 yards, touchdown. He was targeted 17 times, though, so it kind of tells me that Jared's leaning on him a little bit too much. Robert Woods, five catches, 48 yards. Tyler Higbee, three for 47. So the tight ends, and they get 10 catches for 183 yards overall. Brandon Cooks, one catch for 29 yards, targeted three times. That 129 yard was a big one. It's also when he got hurt. Josh Reynolds, one.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money right there.
Well,
just saying.
But listen, we can go back to that. We can go back to that somewhere, Tyway. For the Seahawks, Will Disley, four catches, 81 yards. Tyler Lockett, five catches, 51 yards, including that touchdown pass. DK Metcalf, two for 44, touchdown. Rashad Penny, 231. Jaron Brown, 236. Fumble loss. The big one here, Greg Zuerlein, 3 of 4 for field goals. The one being that he misses, the one that ends up, you know, going wide. JoJo Natson, two returns for 16 yards. A little bit weird there at the end, doing the whole inside the 5-yard line, taking the kick. That was dangerous. Johnny Hecker, doing what Johnny Hecker does, averages 51 yards per punt. Defensively, Eric Weddle was seven tackles, four solo, three assists. Corey Littleton, three solo, four assists, seven tackles. But Troy Reader, 13 tackles, eight solo, and five assists. That surprised me a little bit. For the Seahawks, KJ Wright, seven solo tackles, three assists, 10 tackles total. So there you go. Overall, both teams made some mistakes. Both teams were there was a dogfight. It was a good football game. I don't have a whole lot of complaints. I think the Rams will be fine. I think that they'll split the season series with the Seahawks. So they probably will split with the 49ers too, quite frankly. But overall, you know, a good game. I can't complain. You can go back to Tampa Bay and we can whine and complain all night long. Overall, it was a well-played game. You know, Russell Wilson, one of the best in the league. Combine that with the solid running game, and Seattle they play Seattle game tonight. That's all.
Oh, my goodness. I just saw the schedule pop up on the TV. We can go 7-2.
What do you mean?
The next four games, I'm not afraid of those teams.
what, next four game, but never see here, four games down the line here. On deck is at home against the 49ers. All right.
Yep.
At Atlanta. That yep. You can't sleep on Atlanta.
I'm not saying they're not good. I think we can beat them.
Can, yeah. In London against Cincinnati, that's a W.
That's a W.
That's a W. I mean, that's one. Okay.
Yeah.
At Pittsburgh, which I'm still hoping you'll make happen. I'm not giving up hope just yet.
I ain't scared of them either.
All right, so then the Bears come in.
I'm scared of Mason Rudolph. So if we win those four games, we're 7-2, right?
I mean, there's still a lot of talent in Pittsburgh, though, man. Come on.
No, I agree, but come on. Mason Rudolph, dude, come on. I'm not scared of that quarterback.
So, but, the, you know, November 17th in Chicago, that's the one that will kind of, you know, raise your eyebrow a little bit. Baltimore.
Yeah, and 25th. If we lose that one, we're 7-3, right?
So,
remember that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Chicago to me. They don't even have a quarterback right now, as far as I'm concerned. So,
no. If we'll we see. Lose to them without a quarterback, I'm going to be pissed.
So
we did last year, though. Mitch Trubisky sucks, dude.
I mean, they figured out that
brutal.
It is. But you know,
and everyone,
what?
And everyone was like, "Oh, Vic Fangio's not there." Yeah, well, Chuck Pagano is, bro. So calm down. He's a good coach.
True, he's a very good coach. But that offense, to me. It's not the same. The game won't be the same. It's going to be in LA. It's not going to be freaking freezing in Chicago with rain and wind. It's not going to be that kind of game.
Nope.
There's nothing in terms of weather the rest of the season except for maybe Pittsburgh.
No, we don't have weather in LA. It's always like, you know, 70 yeah. to 94. It's always warm.
I mean, so there's no real concern to me. It's just. It's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh will be, and it's November. It's not like it's going to be December out there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Weather should not be an issue for the Rams the rest of the year. So overall, players of the game for you, who were they?
Oh, my goodness, man. To be honest, the player of the game was Todd Gurley. He only got 15 touches, but when he touched the ball, man, did he look like Todd Gurley. And I just wish he would have got at least 10 more.
I can go with that. He was a weapon out of the backfield. He was, especially when that team was really fighting, you know, they were looking kind of dead. He was the one kind of lifting them up, you know.
Yep, so, and I was very proud of him for that because he's had a really piss-poor attitude lately, and I've been disappointed in him. So I was proud to see him, you know, pump his chest out and remember who he is and just remember that life is good, you're young, you got a lot of money. Life is good, my friend. Just have some fun and get out there and kick some butt. You know? Relax.
And you know what? Just because I want to pat myself on the back, I'm going Gerald Everett. I've been talking about him for about a year now. I'm just believing he's going to come and eventually emerge and start becoming that playmaker. And we're starting to see that now. And if the Rams can really get those tight ends into the game more and more, no one's going to stop that offense. If they just have mediocre blocking the rest of the year, if those tight ends are weapons, then there's no one's going to stop them. Not even Chicago.
No.
Okay, pick now we'll come down to defense. Pick your poison. You have one of the deepest receiving cores in the league. You add in two tight ends who are now catching the football. You have one of the best running backs in the league. You're deep at running back. Just get some blocking. And this is why I'm not worried about the rest of the year, because we're seeing things happen with this offense that I've been wanting to happen for a long time. As much as I think Sean McVay is a brilliant dude, the one thing that has frustrated me a little bit is the lack of development in tight ends, because that's what he was doing in Washington. He was developing great tight end play. He comes over here, and tight ends are stagnant for 2 years, and you're wondering what's going on. And now you're finally seeing these guys develop and become the playmakers you thought they always would be, and I'm telling you, and I've been saying it. I know you've heard me say it. Gerald Everett has the potential to be a top one, top two, top three tight end in the NFL. And I believe that for a long time.
If he was on a team that featured the tight end, he would be all over ESPN, dude.
I mean,
he's
a freakish athlete, and all you really need to do at some point was develop the rest of the skills around him, and that's what's happening now. If I'm telling you, if they can get these tight ends actually more and more involved every time out, Seattle couldn't stop them tonight. Seattle couldn't stop. No one stopped the Rams. The Rams stopped the Rams at the end with a missed field goal.
Our fourth wide receiver, Josh Reynolds, could be a number two wide receiver on at least 10 teams in the NFL. Okay? That's how deep our wide receiver core is. And Jared Goff needs to remember that number 83 plays on his team because, once again, he was running right open tonight, and when they threw him the ball, he got it. But, dude, number 83, Jared Goff, please wake up, dude. Wake up. The guy is stellar, and he's open a lot. Open your damn eyes.
We got to get you in a debate. We got to get you in a debate with, you know, we got to get you in debate with him, man, with Steve Ribeiro. Steve Ribeiro just has lots of love and passion for good old number 83. All right, so as a special entrance onto our show tonight, we also want to bring in Mark Lahan. Let's see if we can get him in here to cause hate and discontent throughout the world. He was just having a little bit of fun with some 49er fans, and we want to get his take tonight as well. So just 1 second here as we make this magic happen. You can hear me dialing out here.
He was trying to call me right now, but I had to click on him because obviously we're on the air.
One of our rare column, kind of a weird post-game show. It says his phone number is invalid. Hold on, I'm going to try it again.
That's because he lives in Tucson.
Yeah, I'm sure it's operator error, i.e. me.
No, it is because you press one twice, knucklehead. I could see it.
Yeah, I told you it's operator error. Come on, I took ownership. Relax.
I see it on the screen. You went ADD111.
ADD111. I see you calling. And you know what's weird, too, is apparently a couple of my students are now listening to our show.
Oh, right on.
They were asking me if I'm doing the post game tonight. And I'm like, yeah, we'll listen. And I'm like, really? And like, yeah, we listened to last night's show. I'm like, what? Since when? So apparently a couple of my students listen to the show now. And they're Browns and Steelers fans, so who knows?
Is not the one wearing the Rams jersey?
Oh, no. That young lady was not enthused. Okay. Let's see. Mark, you here, man?
Isn't it past your bedtime?
It is. It is time for me to go to bed here in a few, but we saw you wanted to join the show tonight, and we're actually having a little bit of fun, considering it was a 30-29 loss and all.
Yeah, I've been having fun. It's kind of hilarious that, you know, after we took the loss to the Seahawks, I have Niners fans on my timeline on Twitter.
Oh, God. Here we go.
And this is what you wanted to call on the show for us. Tell us about the 49ers fans giving you a hard time. That's 7 days a week, 24 hours, you know, 24 hours a day, 365, man. Come on.
I just wanted to make sure you guys are all right. I'm good now.
We're good to go. We are good to go.
You're good. We actually joined the show on time. You needed to take a breather for a minute before you got on, you little turd.
Yeah, no, I needed to get a little Sims action in for about an hour.
Well, this is not a rated R podcast, good sir.
Hey, he just said he was playing the Sims. What are you talking about?
Yeah, listen, I don't know. We all know about your last episode.
We all know what your last episode was.
Why do you always got to go there, Derek?
I'm not the one that goes there.
You had to make it rated R.
Okay, no. Don't even try that. You guys are all playing innocent. Okay, folks, while these guys are laughing, giving me Captain Purity here a hard time, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsor. Check out the promo code and everything goes with it with my bookie.
You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
Also, we do want to give a shout out to our sponsor for real, Jim Hawk. He wrote this great book, Hollywood scene, grit, glam, the 1950s Los Angeles Rams. The book tells the story of the 1950s Rams through the lens of Jim's dad, John, who was an offensive lineman for the team from 1953 to 1957. Check out the story of his father and the team he played for in an era of glitz, glamour, and future Hall of Famers. Read about players like Norman Van Brocklin, Elroy, Grizzlies Hurst, Tom Fears, and Les Richter in this story spent the 1950s Los Angeles Rams. You can find Hawk's book online at HollywoodsTeam.com and on Twitter at HollywoodsTeam. It's available both in hardback and electronic form at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can find the book also at various other booksellers on the internet. Sooner or later, I'll convince Tommy to actually read this book. Tommy's not a book guy, but I promise you, I'm going to give my best to read it. Folks, you should too, okay? It is an outstanding book about Rams history. You know I'm a big nerd about it. It helps a great cause at their Homeboy Industries. Give it a look. It is Hollywood's Team, Grit, Glamour, and the 1950s Los Angeles Rams by Jim Hawk. It's worth your time. Okay, Mark, I'm wondering if you're going to regret this, but what were your thoughts on the game?
I thought that after the first half, actually, you know what? With, what, about 5 minutes into the first half, you know, we looked terrible. We couldn't get anything going. We got some give-me's from the Seahawks. They gave up the ball. We got into, you know, field goal range. We didn't capitalize in the red zone. We fumbled. But it seemed towards the end of the first half that McVay figured something out. He found a soft spot in the Seahawks defense, and he exploited it. I was kind of worried to begin with in the first half that we figured it out a little too fast enough for the Seahawks to make some halftime adjustments. They didn't. We kept pounding the ball on them. We were finding the soft spots in their defense with the pass. Goff looked great in the second half. And, I mean, we just had some bad calls go against us. I mean, the Seahawks got bailed out at the end of the day. That Clay Matthews pass, roughing the passer, was terrible. That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in a Rams game. And you know why they called it?
Because it was Clay Matthews. Anybody?
Yes, was, exactly, yeah. Tommy. It was Clay Matthews. It was a knee-jerk reaction. They didn't see the play. They just saw that Clay put a good hit on Wilson, and they threw the flag. And guess what? We're out of challenges by then. Is that a challengeable play,
no,
by the way?
It's not. You can't challenge that.
It's not. But, man, if they're going to do pass interference, you might as well put roughing the passer in there, too.
That's the Pandora's box they open with that. That's next, man. Soon we're going to have every penalty up for review at some point here soon. That's what's going to happen. That's the Pandora's box.
Yep, yeah, so you're going to have the ability to
everybody could complain
any?
About that it prolongs the game.
You and should, hey, to be
I
honest with you guys,
right.
We get
I just want
every,
the call right.
Whoa.
Every, listen, every NFL team gets two challenges a game, right? You should be able to use those challenges on any penalty, in my opinion. Just two. You get two. And if you get one right, you get the second one. So you end up with three total, right, if you get at least one of them right. So I think you should be able to challenge any one of those plays. As long as it's you're using one of your challenges, it shouldn't be limited to a type of play.
Well, they need to do something
with it. I agree 100%.
They need to do something with it. To me, roughing the passer is the one of the most obvious ones that should get reviewed enough because that one is wrong a good, what, quarter of the time?
Maybe half the time. Maybe
that
half.
Hit on Goff from Jadeveon Clowney was more of a roughing the passer than Clay Matthews by far.
Yep.
But that should have been called. If they called the Clay Matthews one, they should have called the one on Goff.
The only thing that they can argue with that, though, was the fact that the ball was gone. And they could argue he could have pulled up. I don't believe that. He was going in full bore. But if they want to argue something, I mean, if I were the Rams,
in
I'd
real time, can you really argue that?
I don't know.
That's a judgment
Mark.
Call at that
I don't
point,
know.
Right?
I mean, I do think it's a judgment call. I mean, I'm not saying that's what I believe. I'm just saying if there's an argument to be made, that's what it is.
The only way you can pull up visually to be able to try to prevent the ref from pulling that yellow flag out of his pocket is to put your hands back, right? So a lot of guys get called roughing the passer, including Clay, because he followed through with the push after the ball was gone. That's why they threw it. Now, was it roughing the passer? No, not really. But if he wouldn't have pushed him, they wouldn't have called it. If he would have fell into him and they called it, that would have been egregious.
But, Tommy, would you and I have put that shoulder into him too? Absolutely.
Shoulder,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. But when you get into the NFL the way it is in 2019, you need to learn to adapt. And when you're rushing the passer and the ball flies out, if you immediately pull your shoulders back with your arms and your hands like, hey, I'm, and you fall into him, at least you made that conscious effort to not put that extra push into him physically to chuck him onto the ground. Your body gets thrown into him with your momentum that's already carrying you in that direction. So that's the only way you can really visually avoid it, period. There's no other way possible because you're already – your trajectory of your body weight is already going in that direction because you were running that way in the first place, dude.
Yeah, your momentum's carrying you. And, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight is 20/20. We could sit here and argue it all day. The call –
the call
it got made. It was made, and
yeah,
we had a chance. A
bad call, but it doesn't mean it was a bad call because we're Ram fans. If it was against another team, I would, and I was watching it on TV as a, you know, a neutral party, I still would have said the same thing. You know, I'm always fair with my analysis. I'm never a fanboy, never. It's just not how I'm wired.
You know, there's getting away from the game here a little bit, and I'm sure folks who have been listening to Rams Talk Radio doing the post game for a long time, we've usually stuck to football. It's almost always been the case. Tonight's been a lot more loosey-goosey. Heck, I'm making phone calls in the middle of the podcast. It's a live podcast and we're doing that. I'm not editing this baby out or anything. You guys are getting the total raw thing. And that means if Tommy wants to cuss at me, he can. I can't really do much about it except for go, you know, you're a jerk. But the thing is this. The three guys on this show, either in the past or recently, have all dealt with personal things, and the sport of football means a lot to us in so many different ways. And Tommy, you said something really, just really kind of made my mind bend a little bit before we actually went on the air. And would you be kind enough to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I'll elaborate. I have no problem talking about it. It does help me when I do talk about it. But for the last 3 years, my relationship with the Rams, I've had a 35-year relationship since I was 6 years old with this team as a fan. And for most of those 35 years, the way I react to the way the team plays, to when the season starts, to everything about the NFL and the Rams, whether they were in Los Angeles or St. Louis, made me feel like a better person every single day I woke up. They gave me everything I needed when life isn't going your way. They made it feel better. Win, lose, or draw, 2-14 or 14-2, it made me smile, okay? And 6 weeks before the Rams moved back to Los Angeles. Well, I mean, they already announced them, but 6 weeks before the actual first real regular season game, my daughter passed away at birth. And it changed me forever in a lot of ways. It made everything that normally made me happy in life not matter as much. So I've been going to the games since the Rams moved back to LA. I'm a season ticket holder, and I love it. And the best part about it is all of you. Because before the Rams moved back to LA, growing up in Los Angeles my whole life, this is a bandwagon city. There's not a lot of Ram fans here. There just never were. The blackout rule, everything else ruined it. So I was always solo watching the games as a fan. I never had another Rams fan growing up to be able to high-five or talk like we are right now. So all of you guys make my life better every single day by being able to share this special experience with you all. But losing my daughter made me not care as much whether we win, lose, or draw. I remember being at the playoff game against Atlanta in 2017 when we lost at home, And I was walking out of the Coliseum, and everybody was crying and so upset and throwing stuff and fighting. It was really hard to watch. But as I walked out of that stadium, I was a different person. I had my head held very high, and I just felt like, I don't know, I became this, I don't know, glass half full type person where wins or losses didn't emotionally affect me as much as they did previously to the loss that I had of my daughter. And a good, bad, or indifferent, I feel free, you know. And tonight, for the first time in 3 years, I had a couple of drinks before the game and during the game, and I got a nice little buzz, and I woke up and I felt like myself again, and I was yelling at the TV, and I was running around the living room. I was holding my 11-month-old son in my hand, screaming at the television, and he was yelling and just so happy, and I was emotionally invested again in the game, and it was just special. And tonight was the first night in 3 years that I felt myself again, and it upset me that we lost. I was angry and disappointed, and when he missed the field goal, I just put my head in the couch, and it hurt. But for the first time in 3 years, I felt like a human being again. I felt normal again. I felt like it mattered again, and now it was special for me.
Mark, you a lot of people know your story. You have a son with diabetes, and it's brought some really neat experiences, though, with players and other Rams fans and so on and so forth. And what makes being a Rams fan so special to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Anthony was diagnosed in March of 2018. I remember it like it was just yesterday. It was actually right before the Rams signed Ndamukong Suh. And I remember the week leading up to his diagnosis, that's all I could think about was, are we going to sign Ndamukong Suh? Are we going to get this guy? I mean, it was, you know, at work, I couldn't concentrate. I was looking, constantly refreshing my timeline on Twitter, like, did we sign him? Did we sign him? And on a Saturday, on March 23rd, I went to work thinking about, you know, that same thing. And before I got to work, me and my wife had had a conversation. Anthony had been having these, it was, you know, he was wet in the bed. And it was kind of just not something that he used to do. And so I had been Googling symptoms and everything. I was like, is this just a phase? Me and my wife are kind of like, this is just a phase. Kids go through this. And I remember I looked up some stuff about diabetes. It said that, you know, that was one of the symptoms of it. So I told my wife, how about we just take them in? We do our due diligence. We make sure that he's okay. That's our job. That's our responsibility as parents. And I remember going to work, and I knew he had an appointment. It had been like maybe an hour after I'd been at work, he had his appointment. And then I got that text message from my wife when she was at the doctor, and she was like, it's not good. And I responded, what do you mean it's not good? And so I dropped everything that I was doing. I called her, and I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, his blood sugar was 363. Now, not knowing much about diabetes, I still knew that that wasn't right. And like I said, all morning I had been refreshing Twitter, wondering about Ndamukong Suh, whether he was going to sign, not knowing that I was going to spend the next week in the hospital, wondering what was going on with my son. And the point I'm trying to get to with that, I don't want to draw it too far out, is that after his diagnosis, I went to Twitter for support. because I had the Ramley, as we like to say, there. They knew who Anthony was. I mean, you could hit almost anybody up that follows me for the last few years that my son is my entire world. So once I posted that, the outpour of support was absolutely amazing. And at that point I realized like, wow, like this is something different. Like, you have all these other fan bases around the country, and I'm sure there's stories that they have to tell too, but it just hit me hard that as a fan base, as much as, you know, as we had sucked until that point, and I mean, we had a good year. We played the Falcons that year in the playoffs, like Tommy said, but like the support, it was overwhelming. And I hadn't known Tommy at this point. Me and Tommy had not followed each other at all. I don't think me and Tommy followed each other until the 2018 season actually began. And that's another thing that I really want to talk about too, is that, you know, I went through a rough time after that I went through depression, anxiety, you name it. It was hard for me to cope with it. And then I meet Tommy, just, you know, chatting through the timeline. I seen that he had gone through something traumatic. You know, he was talking about his daughter on the timeline. Reached out to him. He reached out to me. He offered towels from, I think it was I forget, what game was it, Tommy, that you had grabbed the towels? Was it the Chiefs game?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was the Chiefs game. He sent Anthony two towels from the Chiefs game, which meant the entire world to us. Anthony got it, and he was excited. And a relationship started at that point that I never saw coming. Me and Tommy started talking to each other, you know, on the daily almost. We started, Rams and Centric had already started. We brought Tommy on. Tommy was great. We knew that it could go somewhere at that point. But me and Tommy had this outside relationship from that started with daily phone calls, a call him before work. We talk, and it's helped me. It's helped me out a lot. And I've told Tommy this. So I don't know where I'd be without him right now, mentally. And it's an amazing thing what meeting someone on the internet, on Twitter, could do for you. That's a fan of the same team as you. And me and Tommy have hung out several times, and we have a great time. All the time. He loves Anthony. I love Elias, his family. They've been nothing but amazing to us. And there's just no words for it. As much as we've both gone through, we're here to help each other and get each other focused for the Rams and Center show, you know, just being positive overall. And it's a great thing.
The thing is this, and this is kind of why I wanted to go this route. You know, the last Sunday night, people were freaking out about the Tampa Bay game, and none of us were really thrilled about it either, quite frankly. It was a little shell-shocking. We all have these high expectations now for this franchise, and when you've seen a lot of losing like we've seen as Rams fans, you also, you know, don't want it to end. And sometimes we lose track of the human aspect of it. Sports is more than just the actual game on the field. Sports is the tie that binds you, whether you're different in your politics or your career, where you live. Our staff at Rams Talk has people living in New York City, in New Jersey, in Ohio, North Carolina, Arizona, Los Angeles, we're everywhere. And it's those ties that bind overall. And I think, you know, Tommy, you texted me and said, really, we're going to do this tonight? Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. When I said, you guys ready for the post game? And I'm like, yeah, but you guys, I don't think, you know, you're talking – I don't think he realized how important it was for me, because nobody outside our staff knows that I suffered a loss this week. My cousin passed away, and he and I have been pretty close. So it's almost therapeutic to get on a podcast and talk about a Rams loss. It's kind of weird that it's what it is. And it's a reminder, whether it's the story of Tommy and your daughter, Tommy, and Mark and your son, the various other stories out there. We had Pink wrote her story on Rams Talk earlier this year. And, you know, you guys have heard about Dom, our staff member, who's been fighting all kinds of issues for a while. The sport of football is more than just a sport to us. As corny as it sounds, because I've always hated this term, Ramily. It drives me nuts. It sounds so stinking corny. And so you actually become part of that Ramily. And then you understand how real it is. It still sounds corny, but it's real. To have these guys come join our staff and become part of our family here has been an amazing experience. And like Mark is saying, I think I talked to Tommy. I think I talk to you almost every day now, don't I? Tommy, you awake?
I talked to you guys. Sorry, I was trying to come off mute. I talked to both of you, if not every day, every other day.
Yep. So, I mean, it's my point is this. The Rams lost tonight, 30-29. Great game. Frustrating game. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. No matter where things go from here, they're going to be fine. And we're going to be fine. The sport is bigger than one game. It's bigger than one person. And thanks, guys, so much for taking the time to share tonight. Just want to remind everybody that it's all bigger than a game. Okay? It is time for us to go. More or less because I need to sleep. But these guys can go ahead and spend some time with their family before they go to sleep. We are looking for sponsors, as always. Reach out to us, please, at ramstop1945@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail there at 657-666-5453. We have a media kit ready to get out to you. We're also, like I mentioned earlier, a part of the Big Heads Podcast Network. Please check them out. Go to bigheadsmedia.com. Listen to all the different promos they have there. Check out some podcasts. You'll see their promos on our shows throughout the week. Any final thoughts? I'll start with Mark.
Yeah, if there's something that's weighing on you, reach out to somebody. You never know what that other person that you're reaching out to is going through also. Just take that chance. Don't keep it inside. Talk to somebody. Talk to people that you share a common interest with. That's exactly what I did.
Tommy?
And that's it.
I got to be honest, man. I like I said, I've loved this team since I was 6 years old. But since the Rams moved back to Los Angeles, being a season ticket holder for the first time in my life as an adult, and being a part of all of this in person and meeting all of you through the internet, my favorite part of being a Rams fan now is all of you and that 3.5 hours we are in the parking lot, every home game, cracking beers, eating food, breaking bread, and having great conversation. I actually, when we are walking into that stadium, get a little let down because the tailgate's over, because that's how much I love people, and that's how much fun this all is becoming every time we show up there. So just, if you haven't been to a home game yet, I don't care where you live in the world, get out there. I don't care if it's to the Coliseum or to Inglewood moving forward next year. It's special out there, guys, and you should be a part of it.
All right, for me, I want to thank everybody. I guess this episode became a little bit more of a kind of a weird guy sharing moment, but every once in a while, it's a nice reminder to think that this game's human. So for everybody, the Rams Talk team, I'm not even going to go through the whole social media thing. You know where to find us. You know our names. Give us a follow. Give the show a follow. But it's time to go. You have a great one, folks. We'll see you for Rams Uncensored tomorrow night with these guys and the rest of the goofballs. Have a great one. We're out of here.
Can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed. You can't control what's outside your home, but you can control what comes in. Because Clorox disinfecting wipes kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria, including COVID-19 virus, when used as directed on hard, non-porous surfaces. So whether it's from dirty doorknobs, dirty shoes, or something else, outside germs won't stand a chance. When it counts, trust Clorox. Kill Pseudomonas, Salmonella, and Influenza virus type A2. Kill SARS-CoV-2 on hard, non-porous surfaces. Use as directed.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.